Hi, y'all. This is Kristen Chenoweth.
Hi, I'm Gloria Stefan.
This is Sarah Bareilles.
Hi, I'm Patti LuPone.
This is Lin-Manuel Miranda. You're listening to the Broadway Podcast Network.
Being on stage feels like someone else, but also more yourself than you've ever felt.
This feels like getting to live in your imagination.
Seeing everyone again brought back so many memories.
Being able to be in this show will be one of the greatest treasures of my life.
Hello and welcome back to Patreon with Cheese, and we're back in our encore recap, and I'm once again joined by the incredible, the wonderful, my favorite person in the world, Elizabeth Esther.
Hello, I'm back.
How are you doing today?
Are you
trying your best?
I'm trying my best. For context, people can't see the world because they can't see what I'm wearing a shirt. This is trying my best. So
she's trying her best. I have the video proof that she is indeed trying her best.
Jarvis Johnson.
So what are we talking about today? What we got in this episode of Encore, episode 4?
Today we have a production of Grease in Hackensack, New Jersey that originally happened in 1990.
This might be the most New Jersey thing I've ever
seen. This is so Jersey. Like, it's so New Jersey. Everyone's yelling at each other every 10 seconds.
Everyone's so angry at each other. Like, there's so much bubbling frustration, but it's not because of, like, the sexual tension or the old boyfriend. It's just everyone's angry because they're from New Jersey. It is so different from every other episode because of that.
I'm dating someone from New Jersey, so yes, I can attest that a lot of people from New Jersey don't want to be in New Jersey.
Hey, what are we doing here? Come on. We should be doing our Grease Lightning performance. Why are we just shooting the shit right now?
There's a lot of Italians in New Jersey, so.
They're just very big, very angry, very frustrated. And then, like, the one black guy is like, I'm here to, you know, kind of do this thing. And can we stop fucking around, please?
This dude's been living in Berlin for the past, like, 10 years, maybe, 15
exactly.
Years, a long time. He's just, like, he's now a sophisticated European man, and all these New Jersey people are just screaming at each other about bagels, and it's just like, can we do
a... Hey, you want a bagel?
No, that's a Philly. That's what you say, Philly. There are bagels in Philly,
okay.
Not New Jersey, not that part of New Jersey.
Yeah, this episode was, it was fun.
It was so New Jersey, it became fun.
Yeah, it's so full of testosterone.
Oh, there's, like, so much, honestly, my favorite part was when the wife of the dude who's playing Kinnicky was like, yo, I heard from your dad, this is a terrible New Jersey accent, my boyfriend does not have one, so I cannot recreate it. I heard from your dad that you make out with Rizzo for, like, half the show. And the guy's just like, no, it's only for, like, a second. And the dad is like, it's for, like, a long time.
And the wife is like, what's going on? What? His wife is very, very pretty. It makes me feel
gorgeous.
Bad that she's so insecure because she's, like, so gorgeous. She's like, my husband's going to have to kiss another lady? What? Yeah, that's my man.
She came around to it. She was just, like, uncomfortable. She's like, oh, they're acting. It's fine.
Yeah, I remember when she's going to see the play and they ask the son, and they're like, what are you going to do if your daddy has to kiss another girl? Close mommy's eyes.
And the daughter's just like, yeah, we're going to close her eyes. Honestly, the best part to show is just the little kids just being like, yeah, I'm going to see daddy semi-embarrass himself on stage.
It's great.
It's pretty cute, actually.
Yeah, so I don't know. I feel like being forced to kiss anyone on stage is the weirdest thing in the world. I don't like it. I've done it once, was not a fan.
Yeah.
Not gonna lie, it is, like, a weirdly vulnerable thing to kind of do. And also, that's how you get mono. And Liz had mono.
I did have mono. It was not fun. I don't think my boyfriend gave it to me,
though. Did you do it from kissing Rizzo on stage?
Maybe I should call her and find out.
Yeah.
Yo, Rizzo, you got mono?
I got the mono. You can get yourself checked out.
Well, my symptoms are gone, Rizzo, so you're lucky. But for a while, it was rough.
Do you like the musical Grease?
I like aspects of the musical Grease.
I don't like any of
By
it.
By aspects,
not a fan of it.
I mean, like, three songs. Two songs. I'm being generous. One song. I only like one song in Grease.
What's the one song you like?
Beauty School Dropout.
What, do you like the Boys to Men cover? Is that your go-to iTunes listen to?
No, the Derek Criss version.
I have not. I don't like that song. I don't like any song from Grease. I don't like any of it.
Grease is fine. That's like the thing with Grease is it's so appealing to everybody. Like everyone loves Grease because it's just like a story. It's a simple story of high schoolers doing shit for however.
It's so rapey though.
It gets rapey, and there's a weird abortion subplot which like they throw in at the end for whatever reason.
Hey, but she's not pregnant. It's okay.
If she's not pregnant, it's fine. But still, like she sings into something about having potentially having an abortion.
What do you think this is, cabaret?
Oh God, don't remind me.
Life is a grease lightning, old chum. Come to the grease lightning.
I still have all that cabaret footage. I could watch it again.
Yeah, don't watch Cabaret the movie. Watch any stage version. It's better than Cabaret the movie.
Yeah, it has its weak points, but as a movie, it's like not terrible. As an adaptation, it's bad. As a movie, it's solid. It's perfectly adequate. The filmmaking's good. Like I can't fault it.
Yeah, Bob Fosse knows how to make a movie.
Bob Fosse can direct. He just isn't good at adapting a musical. I mean,
he wants to leave his stamp on things.
He does. He does, but Sweet Charity didn't do well, so clearly his stamp doesn't work sometimes. So,
I like Sweet Charity, the movie. I think that's a pretty darn good movie.
Well, it almost ruined his whole ass career.
yeah, poor Bob Fosse. Maybe if he directed Grease, it would have been all right.
No, Grease was... I've only seen the movie of Grease, though, so...
Me too.
My inherent bias might be that I've never seen a stage production. Like, this mooning song, I did not know it existed. I did not know there was a song about mooning people in Greece.
I mean, that's like the least surprising thing to learn, to be honest. There's a song about abortion in Greece. There's a song about sexual assault in Greece.
There's a lot going on in Greece.
The thing is, it's not even that interesting. It's mostly a boring watch.
It's a perfectly adequate teen movie musical.
No, a perfectly adequate teen movie musical is Grease 2, starring Michelle Pfeiffer.
Before we start recording, Jess was like, can we just talk about Grease 2?
I would much, like, seriously, I would love to do a commentary on Grease 2 with just me and Liz, because that movie's a blast and a half.
Let us know in the comments if you want to hear a commentary on Grease 2.
Like, Michelle Pfeiffer's dancing after Smooth Rider, it's just like...
She's dancing off into the street singing Smooth Rider while Michael is just hanging out, like watching her do this, and he can't even hear her anymore. It's great.
She just keeps on going.
There's three songs about fucking, one of which involves bowling as a metaphor.
There's one about reproduction, not even like fucking, it's like the act of creating a child, you know, the sexiest part of fucking.
Yeah, clearly, like, these teenagers are thinking about the reproductive act of eggs going into sperm and babies.
Put your talent tube to work.
That's the best line ever written by anyone.
Grease 2, 10 out of 10, no faults.
Not to mention the one song where the dude uses the fact that America's being bombed to have sex with a girl. Let's do
it. I've heard worse pitches.
For our country.
I've heard worse pitches. It feels in the same category of Shock Treatment. Have you ever seen that one?
I've seen the musical Hell video on Shock Treatment, so I know of it.
I think that movie's great. I think that movie's a lot of fun.
I might watch it. It's gotten a bad rap. Yeah, I might check it out, actually.
It's on par with the Rocky Horror Picture Show in a different way. It just should not have been a sequel. It should have just been, like, you know, a spiritual successor, in the same way that Hot Fuzz and Shaun of the Dead are spiritual successors.
Oh, yeah. Those movies are so good. I love those movies.
Edgar Wright, I'm excited to finally watch Last Night in Soho. Like,
same.
That movie looks incredible.
I love everybody in the cast. Though. Yeah, same. Like, I saw Laura Crone, who's amazing content creator. Go check her out. She had a great video on Repo and Terrence Zidinch.
Yes. Very. She might be coming onto the show sometime in her early 2021. We'll see.
Hell
about
yeah.
That.
No, yeah. Check out the Terrence Zidinch video. It's very, very good. But she tweeted just like,
he's a piece of shit.
I don't know how to feel about Last Night in Soho. And I was like, oh no, I'm scared.
That's kind of. Have you watched Candyman yet?
The new one? No.
Yeah. Okay. I did not like it. I really, really did not like it. And I felt weird about not liking it until I saw Princess Week's video on it, and then I was like, okay, someone else can at least put into words the reasons why I don't like this. It's stupid because no one here cares about Candyman. I miss the iconography. Like, I miss the member berries. It's so stupid. I miss the member berries. I wanted a real sequel, and it kind of isn't.
You wanted them to reference random bits from the first movie, like, throughout? Be like, so you can point at the screen, like, that Leo meme? Like, I recognize that.
No. It's not that. I just want my Candyman to be Tony Todd with a hook hand. That's all I want. You know, I don't want much, but when I come to see a Candyman movie, I want Tony Todd with a hook hand.
Okay, once I watch it, we'll have a discussion about it.
We will. It's like if A Nightmare on Elm Street, but it's just some dude is Freddy Krueger.
Yeah, that was the remake. You just described the remake. Good job.
But they're also like, no. We're still in the same universe with the Robert Englund one, but now it's just some dude.
Robert Englund retired from playing Freddy Krueger, so that's what a reboot would be.
Okay. Let me do it as a different pitch. All right, so let's say we've got a Nightmare on Elm Street sequel, and we start with this one guy like, oh, I'm looking into the Nightmare on Elm Street murders and all that. And then slowly he's discovering his face is falling apart, and at the end he's Freddy Krueger.
Oh, and, got it.
It bothers me. It's really stupid that this bothers me so much. But honestly, I wish I had a warning like this before I went to see the movie.
The trailers are giving me the vibe you were describing, so but I understand why not fully grasping it. So I get your anger.
Like, yeah, I want Tony Todd.
We all want Tony Todd. We all want Tony Todd.
I want him with real bees on his face, coming out of his mouth, making out with people.
And we want him to receive $10,000 for each bee sting that happened in his mouth.
Exactly.
Real fact from the first movie.
That movie is fucking fantastic.
That movie is
impeccable.
I want
Tony Todd to play the Phantom of the Opera.
Oh, I think that's why I like Candyman, because it's very phantomy. It's just like...
Yes.
It's like, ooh... Imagine, like, a Candyman Phantom, a musical, like, Phantom, but, like, Candyman. That'd be terrible.
I think a Candyman musical would actually be great if they really, really leaned into it.
And you can get Tony Todd in it.
Yeah, it has to be Tony Todd, or it's not
Candyman. It has to be Tony Todd
playing
Candyman. It really does. It really does have to be Tony Todd. Also, I'm also the person that does not shut up about Candyman to every horror fan I interact with. They're like, have you seen Candyman? They're like, I don't know what Candyman is. And I get real mad at them for a second. And I'm like, this is the best movie, horror movie of the 90s, bar none. Don't fight me on this. I don't want to hear about Scream.
I
don't want to hear about it. Scream is also good. But Candyman is the best. And I'm going to make you watch it one day. And I finally made my boyfriend watch it. He's just like, okay, I get what you're saying. I'm like, thank you.
Candyman is number one, but number two is an unpopular one. It is New Nightmare. I think New
Nightmare.
That's
not unpopular, I would say.
Is that not unpopular?
No, it's considered.
I thought people didn't like that movie.
It's the prerequisite to Scream, so maybe that's why people don't like it. But I think it's the best, one of the best Nightmare movies of all time.
I mean, it's definitely top three.
The best Nightmare movie is The Dream Warriors, though. I will fight
there
you.
Is an argument to be made between that one and the first one.
There is. It's a very tight argument. I just think the Dream Warriors embrace is like the best version of fun Freddy, but adding enough serious Freddy. It's the perfect Freddy
yes,
mix.
I agree entirely, but there is like a 20-minute interlude in this middle where we have to have nun flashbacks, and then I get bored for a little bit.
I like the nun flashbacks.
I do not.
Maybe because I was raised Catholic.
Pretty lame.
So,
but the first Nightmare does not have any boring moments. It just kind of goes, but it has some rough acting. So I think it's like a razor's edge for me. And some days it's one and some days it's the other.
Yeah, but Nightmare 3 has Welcome to Primetime, bitch.
Nightmare 1 has This is God. And I'm your boyfriend now, Nancy.
That's not as good as Welcome to Primetime, bitch. I'm kidding. They're both. They're
I'm
all
your boyfriend
great.
Now, Nancy is
I think
the
about
best
that
one-liner.
All the time. Like, I watched that movie when I was like 16 and it shook me. I was just like, oh my God.
But kind of hot, right?
not when Robert Englund covered in fake burns is trying to kill me.
A tongue coming out the phone.
Also, fun fact, Heather Langenkamp has that phone.
Oh my God, what'd she do with it?
She just kept it. the end of the shooting, she asked, "Can I have the phone?" She's props department was like, "Absolutely, you can take it." So
I wish, I don't know. I think Heather Langenkamp seems like a really nice person. I want her to have one more horror outing. I want her to like come back for one more horror film, as like a main co-lead or something.
Oh, me and my boyfriend have this thing where we watch terrible horror movies all the time. We watched a movie called Truth or Dare, not Blumhouse's Truth or Dare, which is a terrible movie. Don't watch it. This is a sci-fi movie made like a year prior called Truth or Dare. So it's not a knockoff. It's just coincidentally the same title. I don't know how that, maybe the development announcement made sci-fi like make this movie real quick. So it's about ghosts or something. I don't remember. But towards the end of the movie, all the dumb college students are like, we need to figure out what's going on. We need to talk about some person who knows about the curse. And the person who knows about the curse is an old, scarred Heather Langenkamp, who's in the movie for 10 minutes, maybe? I might be being generous here. I don't remember this movie very well, but it is better than the Blumhouse movie. I can confirm. But I'm just like, the best part is, she's top billed. It's like, Heather Langenkamp. Like, where's Heather? Like, the entire time I watch this movie, it's like, where's Heather Langenkamp? Where is she? And then she shows up at the end. I'm like, oh, there she is. So she's doing TV horror.
I she needs her own. You know what the Halloween remake did for Jamie Lee Curtis? She needs one of those for her.
The problem is Robert Englund retired from playing Freddy completely. And the last time we replaced Freddy, we replaced him with Rorschach. So,
which isn't a bad choice, just didn't work there.
It did not work in that movie. The only thing I liked about that movie is when he like puts his like crouches his claws next to each other and creates sparks. I liked that part of the movie. And that's it. I hated everything else.
I have an idea. I have a pitch for you for a Nightmare on Elm Street 4, an actual Nightmare on Elm Street 4, where we kind of ignore all the other sequels and pick up right after 3.
Okay, so this is a big hypothetical, because all the actors are old now, so...
I mean, Patricia Arquette would come back. I've got a feeling she would probably
I don't
be
think
down
she would.
Back.
I think she's a little too famous now.
I think that would make... I mean, the money's there.
That's true. Okay, what's your pitch?
All right, so you know she had, like, the dream powers to pull people into dreams. We'll keep that. So she has this nightmare, and it's finger claws again, except it's Heather Langenkamp with all the Freddy burns, and she's Freddy. And it's, like, more torturous because it's, like, this mother figure to her coming to murder all these children that she has to stop.
Ooh.
It's, like, the spirit of Freddy with Heather Langenkamp's voice and body and face.
I'm down for that. Hell yeah.
So we wouldn't need Robert. We could probably bring Robert Englund back for a cameo.
Yeah,
I feel like
bring
he'd
out for a cameo. He
like
needs
a...
to be there.
But it's Heather Langenkamp, Nancy, as Freddy.
I think it'd be interesting. We need the correct director, but it could work.
Yeah, I would like this. Or we could go wholly other direction. You know who I think would be a great Freddy?
Who?
If we were to replace him?
Go for it. Tell me.
I think we should have prestige actor, someone that can kind of play the comedy side as well as the thing. I think Lakeith Stanfield would nail it.
Oh, he'd be a good Freddy. He would.
He also has like a very angular, long face, so you could really add whatever you want to it.
Yeah. No, I think that could work, actually. He hasn't played a villain before, I don't think. So.
No.
He's mostly done like hero stuff. I mean, Sorry to Bother You is one of those movies that's like very like nuanced and shit, so I won't get into that.
I mean, that's
but...
that leans horror. Ish.
It does. I just watch the movie. Don't read anything about it. Just watch it. Go in blind. It's the best way to watch the movie.
Yeah. Also, here's another pitch. And a thing that bothers me about Nightmare as a series that they have never done before. Why don't we have like real children, like Stranger Things kid level kids with the Nightmare on Elm Street premise? Because no one's going to believe kids that age, like 10, 11, when they're saying what they feel and how nightmares are affecting them.
That's
and
true.
It would just be more horrifying. And the Nightmare on Elm Street series has never done that.
Yeah.
Like, in all 20 adaptations of it, that's never been tapped, aside from, like, the little girls playing with the jump rope.
Yeah, they don't die, though. They're like ghosts who sing the Freddy song. They're in, like, half the movies.
So, I think that would be the next step. You bring Lakeith Stanfield as new Freddy, with Patricia Arquette is the new matriarch figure.
So she's playing Kristen again.
Children. Yeah. She's back as Kristen. She's coming back to help all these children. You know, Dr. Sleep situation where
yes.
she's kind of like burnt out a little bit and then brought back in. But when she sees Freddy, it's Heather Langenkamp. And when the kids see it, it's Lakeith Stanfield.
Oh, so it's like they're two Freddies.
I mean, it's the same Freddy. He's yeah. just taking over different figures. Yeah.
So
now.
it's like you combine Freddy with Pennywise because Pennywise takes different forms.
A little bit.
The kids he haunts.
I think that would be a good way to make Freddy more torturous. And Dream Logic. I think Dream Logic is something they don't lean into as much as they really should in the Nightmare on Elm Street series. And I feel like that's some real untapped potential there. And if there was ever a series I would love a remake of with like a really talented director, it's the Nightmare films.
I'm hesitant for a Nightmare remake because the last one was so bad.
I don't even want a remake. I want soft reboot in the way that I pitched it.
Yeah, they could do it that way. I don't know. I don't know who owns the rights to Freddy at the moment.
New Line.
New Line got bought up by a bigger company, though. So I forgot who the bigger company
was. Wasn't it Platinum Dunes who did the Friday the 13th remake?
Yeah, it was Michael Bay.
That's
it was
Michael Bay
joint.
Like, Rooney Mara as fucking Nancy was, like, horrible casting.
And also, like, Quentin as the Glenn character. First of all, why was his name Quentin? Where'd they get that?
Tarantino. They wanted Tarantino to give it a good review. Give it an endorsement. I love this film.
Yeah, you're not going to get a hostile Tarantino. Thing again. Good luck.
Watch Eli Roth be, like, tapped to do it. Fuck that noise.
Oh, no. That'd be the worst.
Who would be the worst case scenario for a Nightmare on Elm Street remake?
That's a good question. First, any music video director, because Samuel Bayer is a piece of shit. He ruined that movie. Second of all.
Yes. I mean, it depends on... Daniels, if they got it. They're a music video director that I would trust.
Yeah. Honestly, I want the person who directed Mandy to direct the Nightmare remake.
Really?
That'd be... Because Mandy's insane, and I think Freddy needs to be
yeah,
more
it is.
Insane. So, we just don't... No
See,
Nick,
mine was good.
No Nick Cage, though. We don't need Nick Cage in Nightmare. Like, get him out.
He would not be a terrible Freddy Krueger, like, if we were going to do a different kind of film.
Yeah.
All right, my pitch would be Mike Flanagan, who did
better
The
choice.
Haunting of Hill House. And,
better choice.
Like,
I love Mike
I
Flanagan.
Really like Dr. Sleep. He would really get the dream logic. Like, have you seen Dr. Sleep?
Yes, twice.
Like, the travel scenes in there where she's just floating around in her...
Like, when... like
imagine we could do with dreams.
Like, when Abra's, like, kidnapped and then Danny takes over her body to talk to the evil guy. Like, oh...
And imagine how he'd handle evil Heather Langenkamp. Let me write the script, Mike Flanagan. I got this. I'm ready. Put me in, coach. Little children, Nightmare on Elm Street.
Yo, Flanagan, call us, Mike Flanagan.
I got this.
We got ideas.
You know, this... It worked out so well last time you adapted a really popular franchise.
Even Stephen King liked it.
Yeah, and Stephen King doesn't like anything
he
except
really
Cujo.
Doesn't. No, he liked Misery, I think.
He liked Misery, Cujo.
Stand By Me. He likes Stand By Me.
What's he think about Dreamcatcher?
He's never commented on Dreamcatcher because he wrote that wall.
What do you think of Dreamcatcher?
I've never seen it. But all I do...
Lawrence Kasdan directed it.
All I do know is that Stephen King does not remember writing it because he was so high on coke. So it wasn't good.
Have you read it?
No, I haven't read it. I've only read a quarter of The Dead Zone and a little bit of The Shining. Stephen King books are hard to read. There's a lot
of
setup, and the payoff happens 60 chapters after you read 60 chapters of setup. So...
Praised by Lin-Manuel Miranda as the future of musical theater, SUFS creator Shayna Taub makes Broadway history as only the second woman to write the book, music, lyrics, and star in her own original new musical. Don't miss the much-anticipated Broadway debut of the singular artist that Forbes calls visionary and Billboard anoints as one of the most inventive voices in musical theater. SUFS, the original new musical from Shayna Taub, is now playing on Broadway at the Music Box Theater. Get your tickets today at suffsmusical.com. The Outsiders on Broadway tells the story of finding where you belong when the world refuses to accept you. Based on S.E. Hinton's beloved novel, featuring new music from Jamestown Revival and Justin Levine, and directed by Danya Taymor, Entertainment Weekly says that, with brilliant staging and some of the most captivating stage fighting currently on Broadway, The Outsiders has the power to inspire an entire generation. Get your tickets today at OutsidersMusical.com.
So the premise of Dreamcatcher is a bunch of guys in the wilderness, and then shit weasels start attacking them, and they go up your bunghole and turn you into demons.
And then Morgan Freeman has, like, horrifying alien eyebrows.
Yeah, and he's like, "Oh, I call them shit weasels. I'm Morgan Freeman."
Also, I happen to have my copy of Misery by my desk, so...
Misery is a good read. The Secret Window is also a very good read.
Yeah. My dad's a big Stephen King fan, so whenever he's done reading a Stephen King book, he gives it to me, because he never reads books twice. So he just gives me the books. It is weird, but I get Stephen King books. So in the end, it's a good trade-off. I bought this at a used bookstore, though. It cost me $5. Mm-hmm. It's from 1990, because it now says, "Now a Spectacular Motion Picture" on the front.
Wow, Rob Reiner, the same director of The Princess Bride, made probably one of the most horrifying films ever.
It's horrifying. Watch, if you love horror, watch Misery. It's great. Kathy Bates won an Oscar and deserved it.
Yeah, Kathy Bates is a 10 out of 10 great performer. And she's so pretty in that movie. I know she's supposed to look kind of repulsive, but she's so pretty
in
that movie.
She's pretty, except for when she's hobbling James Caan.
Yeah, I mean, that's a rough, yeah.
It's a little rough.
So who do you... Who do you think was the MVP of the Grease?
The Grease. We've been avoiding talking about Grease for over 10 minutes.
Do you regret it? I think
don't.
We had a great conversation.
We did.
And
did.
Now
I,
we have our pitch to
I hope
Mike
you
Flanagan.
Enjoyed our quarter of a horror movie podcast in the middle of our musical podcast.
We tend to do that, don't we? I think this is like the third time we've turned to horror.
Yeah, no, I'm a big horror fan. It's just the thing. It's where
we both are.
It's where my head goes. I love horror. Anyway, MVP. I just want to say I love Greg's mom. She's not the MVP. I just really like Greg's mom, especially at the end where the producers are like, "What did you think of Greg with hair?" And she just laughed at the camera. And that's the last shot of the episode. I love that. Great job, editor. I don't remember. I never looked up the editor, but great job, editor. You're great. I'd have to say, I wrote her name down. I swear, I take notes when I do these.
Taking notes, and I just kind of freeball.
I take notes. I'm prepared. I'd say Aaron and Anton.
Yeah, Anton's a big
one. I love Anton in this. He's just like, he's embracing his New Jerseyan with his new European ways.
I just like that the director could speak German too, and I was like expecting him to get called out and not really notice it.
And I love how the person who played Jan, who's the loudest of all the pink lady actresses, is just like, what are you guys saying?
What are you guys saying? I mean, I don't get it.
This is so New Jersey. Oh my God.
Yeah, it looked like probably the most stressful production so far, to be honest.
Yeah, it was like
no one wanted to do it.
It was by record the worst tech rehearsal.
Yeah. What about that one girl that's like, "I am Cha-Cha because I'm the best dancer at..." Like, she had one line, but she was going to make sure she was going to get it.
She kept... There's so many shots of her that cut to her in various places just saying this line to herself. Throughout the episode.
Alone.
By herself. Sometimes into a mirror. While she's doing her choreography that she doesn't do while saying the line. She just stands there.
Yeah. It's weird. It's weird.
She did
it feels
a great
like the
job,
director
though.
Is like, can we not do the little dance choreography that you did?
Yeah. I guess maybe that was for later and she was practicing, but I don't know. The way they do the editing of the productions part, they take snippets of it. So we don't see the whole thing, obviously. So there might have been a big dance section she had that got cut in post. So
cut in post?
Yeah. That's a technical term.
How does this rank among the other episodes?
I don't like Grease that much, so it
Me
does
neither.
Not help this episode at all. I think it's so New Jersey that I kind of love it. I've lived near New Jersey my entire life, so I'm in the area of New Jersey, very close by. So I'm like, it made me feel weirdly nostalgic to when I went to that part of New Jersey when I went on vacation and I wore Red Sox shirts to the beach when I was a kid, like over my bathing suit. And as we were about to cross the turnpike, people would honk their horns and yell, "Go Yankees!" at my family.
That's hilarious.
So it made me feel weirdly nostalgic for a time where Yankees fans yelled at me when I was a child.
I don't get sports connections.
Okay, here's a quick summary for all you non-sports
people.
Let's go. I need this. So the Red Sox and the Yankees are two baseball teams. They're both in the American League. And they have a rivalry that started in the early days of baseball, which is like the 1900s. And it has remained that way since the 1900s.
What if a player gets traded from one team to the other?
Then he's a traitor.
See them as a it's just a fucking game, you guys.
It's a game. This actually did happen. This has happened multiple times, though. One of the biggest ones was like in 05. We had Johnny Damon was his name. He got traded to the Yankees right before Christmas of that year. And my parents bought us Red Sox cutouts as like a gift after the 04 World Series win. And they bought me a Johnny Damon cutout before he got traded. So on Christmas, what they did was they put a paper bag over his head and they put traitor, like a sign on him.
That's
because
hilarious.
They did not anticipate this happening. So it's like, shit, we bought our daughter a cutout of a random Red Sox player. Now he's in the Yankees. Fuck.
Sports is really intense.
It is. There's
there
also the curse of the Bambino, which is a different thing. So
explain that to my dumb ass.
Okay, so in 19... Here's a history lesson.
I'm ready.
So in the early 1900s, Babe Ruth, you probably heard of him. He's the best, one of the best baseball players of all time.
He didn't invent the candy bar?
It was named after him. But he used to be on the Red Sox in the early 1900s, in the 1910s. But in 1918, one of the dumbass Red Sox managers decided to trade him to the Yankees. Is a strange choice. It might have been financially motivated. I do not remember right now. But he was traded to the Yankees by this very dumb manager. So from 1918, so prior to this, the Red Sox have won a World Series every like 2 years pretty consistently. We were very good at baseball. And then we traded Babe Ruth. And then from 1918 to 2004, we barely made it in the championships.
And we blame Babe Ruth for this?
We blame that dumbass manager trading Babe Ruth, and that's why his nickname was Bambino. So it's called the Curse of the Bambino.
Maybe you just weren't that good at team.
Which is probably more accurate sentiment, but Red Sox fans are very superstitious, especially when you kept losing World Series over and over and over and over and over again, and you got so close half the time and you never made it. So
have they ever considered that maybe they're just not good sports?
Don't tell that to any old Red Sox fan. They'll punch you in the face.
I'm just saying, maybe you should just get better players and, you know.
Well, yeah,
it's
that's
all rigged anyways.
It's true, it is rigged. But then we beat the curse in 04, and we won in 2007, 2013, and 2018.
Okay. this is what it's like to support teams that win.
Yeah.
See, every Michigan team except for like basketball is garbage.
Yeah. Also, I'm from the Philly area, so I should be a Phillies fan. I'm surrounded by Phillies fans, and they hate
you're not a Steelers fan?
No, that's Pittsburgh. It's the other side of the state.
I like Pittsburgh. It's a very nice city.
Yeah, it is a very nice city, but it's the other side of the state, and I'm not a Steelers fan. But no, I've been surrounded by Phillies and Eagles fans my whole life. So, thanks, Dad. I'm kidding. They hated me in elementary. Middle school people would be just like, you're a Red Sox fan? They're always losing. I'm like, yeah, and the sky is blue. I'm fully aware they lose all the time. I'm used to it by now. Jesus Christ, guys.
See, I was so ingrained. Like, do you know, did I ever tell you how I made money in college?
No, I hope it wasn't illegal.
No. It was very illegal. I was a freelance videographer and photographer for a lot of sports teams. So I was like with this group. So like our most famous sports ball players, I did like their personal photography for. So Darius Slay, who was like the big quarterback or something, I don't know, for the Detroit Lions, I did his engagement photos. I had no idea who these motherfuckers were. Don Carey, another big Lions player, did a bunch of his camps and did videography for him. Same with what's his name? Miguel Cabrera.
Yeah.
I did some photos
I
of
know
him.
Who that is.
And did a lot of interviews with him. I was in the locker rooms of all the, like, this is how I made money. This was my petty cash fund when
it's
I was in college, and I still have no idea who these motherfuckers were. Like, photos would get posted where it's just like me and this person, and they're like, you know this guy? I was like, I guess
you live
how'd you do this?
You're living the dream of so many sports fans, and you know you're living a dream.
Yeah, I was just like, hey, money. I was just with people that knew sports people, and I was along for the ride.
No, I'm my dad's a sports person, so he puts sports onto us as a thing to be into. So I own a lot of Red Sox stuff. Like back, true story. So after they won the World Series in 2004, there was a special edition Wheaties box that came out of in the front. David Ortiz, Big Papi, one of the most famous Red Sox players of all time, of him hitting a home run on a Wheaties box. My dad wanted all of us to have this Wheaties box. So he bought 5 boxes of Wheaties, and he made us eat all of the cereal out of every box. So we could...
Wheaties isn't even that good a cereal, though.
No, it's a weird sports cereal that tastes weird, and I ate it as a kid, but I played sports back then. So, yeah. So now I own an old dusty Wheaties box from 2005 or 04. And I have it on display above my bookshelf. You can kind of see it behind me. It's orange and obnoxious. It's right near my college degree.
I mean, it's on equal footing with your college degree.
It is. I ate a lot of Wheaties to get it, so.
Yeah, I mean, and now you got strong bones or something. What the fuck is that cereal supposed to do?
How old was that back then? I was 8? I guess that's stronger bones at the age of 8.
All right, so... What a trip, right?
What a trip.
What an episode.
I hope you all enjoyed that mild sports education.
Wow, we talk sports, horror movies,
and
almost nothing about Encore.
Well, there's no Adam Wachter in this, so...
What are we supposed to do without Adam Wachter? We're lost in the woods.
Adam Wachter, we need you back.
Come back to us. I know you eventually do. I just don't know when.
The next episode.
Here's hoping.
I checked IMDb. It says Adam Wachter, isn't it?
Yeah, my baby boy. He's back.
He's back. Yeah, but Grease isn't that good of a show, so we don't have anything to say about it.
What's your cheese rating of this episode?
I like this episode. It was solid. I just don't like Grease. It's not the fault of the filmmakers. It's the fault of my own taste. Anyway, I'm going to give it a New Jersey cheese delicacy, and that is... Wawa mac and cheese.
And I can only give it moon cheese cheddar snacks, which are like these little cheddar snacks, because the guy mooned his entire audience.
Yeah, and they didn't show it.
You know what? I respect them for that.
Yeah, same, actually. I did not want to see his butt.
I mean, if I was that person, I would agree to do it in front of an audience, not in front of 5.3 million Disney Plus subscribers.
Yeah, I mean, also, they blurred Daryl Hannah's butt in Splash, so they wouldn't let that happen.
They didn't blur it. They gave digital fur technology to her anus.
That's the saddest thing.
Thank you, Allison Pregler, for doing the research on that.
Thank you, Allison Pregler, for showing me that how terrible the world is.
You know what? We're worse off for not seeing Daryl Hannah's butt, to be honest. It was a nice butt in that movie.
I have never seen Splash, so now I can't watch it because I can't look at Daryl Hannah's butt.
Next question, and an actual thing to think about. When and if they put Titanic on there, because that is a 20th Century Fox movie, will they hide Kate Winslet's butt and tits?
Yes, 100%.
I don't know. I mean, that's an artistic scene. I feel like...
Yeah, that's true. There's a point to it. But I think there's a way to edit around it where you can get rid of the tits. And they'll probably do
but
that.
Why would you do this? I mean, if this is the solidified way that the film is going to be, why do this? Why? Like, is Splash even available on HD without the digital fur technology ass?
I've never looked into it. But I mean,
I don't think Splash is probably that great a film to begin with. Yeah. But
I mean, they might keep it. I don't know if they'll ever, but here's the thing. I don't know if it will ever be on Disney Plus because of the tits.
Yeah.
That's the real question.
But have you heard of Disney Plus Star in other countries?
No.
So basically it's like the Adult Center program where they have like the Family Guys and all of that kind of stuff in its own little section.
Can we have that in America?
Well, it's called Hulu in America.
That's true. It is Hulu. Yeah, it's true. Thank God for Hulu.
We got to pay for another whole fucking subscription service. But that's also part of the reason why Disney Plus is so cheap here in compared to, like, other countries.
Yeah, yeah. Like, HBO Max is insane. Like,
I mean, yeah.
It's a lot. The Will Smith's Oscar movie is now on HBO Max for the month. So,
have you watched it? Is it any good?
Nope. I wasn't planning on it.
He plays King Richard.
I still haven't watched Dune.
I haven't watched Dune either. I hear it's good.
I love Timmy Chalamet. I love Oscar Isaac. He's my celebrity husband. I have a giant crush on him. So
I want to grow a beard like him. That's my goal. I want that big white long beard of his.
Does Miranda want you to have that though?
No, she does not.
That's the real question.
She was the one like, hey, you should grow your beard out again all summer, and now I'm doing it. She's like, okay, it's like the enough slices meme.
Yeah.
And I'm like, I'm gonna keep it going until I look like George Seurat, and then we're gonna shoot that Sondheim video.
Oh god, sneak, just dropping sneak peeks.
this is a longer episode. They made it this far. They made it through the Nightmare on Elm Street talk and the Red Sox talk to this point to find out that little tidbit. Good on them. They deserved it. They earned it.
That's true. Get ready for Andrew Lloyd Webber, an exploration of his life, kids.
Well, it's not even Andrew Lloyd Webber. This is Sondheim. We already shot the Webber stuff.
Yeah, the Webber stuff's on its way.
Yeah, you like that promo image? I know we're like basically not even talking to the podcast anymore.
We're just working now. This is behind the scenes of how we talk to each other.
It really is though.
No, I liked it. It's gonna be good. People are gonna like
it. I hope so. I'm gonna be mad if it only gets 3 views.
I don't think I'll get at least 6.
Okay, that's good. I can live with 6.
I can live.
I will definitely put the noose away and if I get at least 6.
Oh, God.
But if it's under 6, man, time to end it all.
It's true. Well, I hope you enjoyed our unfocused ramblings about topics.
You know what? Not every episode's going to be a fucking keeper.
That's true.
That's the truth of the Real Musicals with Cheese show. I'm sorry, we try to make every episode good, but not everyone is going to be good.
That's just life, guys. Art is strange.
Life is strange, and that's a video game. And we'll see you next time on Patreon with Cheese. Say goodbye, Liz.
Goodbye.
Being able to be in the show will be one of the greatest treasures of my life.
They say well-behaved women seldom make history. Just ask the Supps. A vibrant and wholly original new musical, Supps celebrates the real women who changed history and their story that is more timely than ever. See the show Variety calls an epic tour de force new musical, Deadline Cheers is a rare Broadway feat and leaves audiences inspired to keep marching. Supps has arrived on Broadway and not a moment too soon. Get your tickets today at suppsmusical.com. If you love Broadway gossip, you are not going to want to miss any episode of this podcast, Singular Sensation, The Triumph of Broadway. Plenty of dramas unfold on stage, but the best dramas unfold backstage. And there were no bigger dramas than behind the scenes of Sunset Boulevard.
So you were being crucified over here, but
yeah.
Not there.
No. No, because I was turning in a performance that would get standing ovations. Excuse me.
So check out my podcast, Singular Sensation, for all the juicy and gory details of Sunset Boulevard.
Hey, it's Leslie Odom Jr. here on the Broadway Podcast Network to tell you about the RISE Theater Directory, a program of Maestro Music. RISE is a national online resource designed to connect and empower backstage and administrative and creative theater professionals from underrepresented backgrounds. If you work or aspire to work in the theater community, this can help you find your next project. And if you hire theater professionals, search the RISE Theater Directory to find your next team. Create your profile now and get more information by visiting risetheater.org. That's theater with an RISETHEATRE.org, because only together we rise.